The Catholic Church was again in the news this week. And many of us saw the images of the Cathedral of Notre Dame de Paris being consumed by fire. And crowds gathering, many with tears flowing down their cheeks, some singing hymns, singing the Ave over and over, saddened at the potential loss of such a landmark, such a historic building, such a phenomenally beautiful place of worship. A lot of attention was given to the priceless art, the statuary, the rose windows, some of the artifacts, people waiting with bated breath. Were they saved? Were they preserved? Or were they consumed by that fire? And a communal sigh of relief was breathed in finding out that indeed they had been preserved. And almost instantly, plans have been made for the reconstruction of that building. The Archbishop of Paris was interviewed, and as part of an interview, he was talking about why that building, that majestic building, was constructed in the first place. And he asked this question: why was this house built? What was the purpose? Inside it, who would reside? And his answer: a piece of bread, the body of Christ. One of the priests there, Father Jean-Marc Fournier, you may have read about him, as the cathedral was being consumed by flames, he went in and he retrieved the artifacts, the crown of thorns believed to be the ones placed on the head of Christ. And he went and opened the tabernacle and retrieved the Blessed Sacrament. And as he left the cathedral, he gave a benediction to the building and then left. My friends, what is it that draws us together in this building this night? It's nothing less than moved those great artisans and builders some 800 years ago to begin construction on that magnificent cathedral. It was a love for God, a desire to give Jesus Christ the best. And it wasn't just for their own age or their own time. That edifice took 200 years to complete. Those who designed it, those who started construction on it, never saw its completion. But they only saw a purpose and a vision that was much greater than themselves. My friends, that's what draws us here tonight. Something that's bigger than ourselves. That's what drew Jesus and his apostles into that upper room. Something that wasn't going to be contained in that moment, in that period of history, but something that was setting up what would become known as his church. Jesus instituted three things that night. He instituted the Eucharist, the priesthood, and a universal call to service. And really quickly, let's look at each of those. He knew what he was about to do in those couple of days that were going to follow. He was giving himself, pouring himself out, sacrificing himself for a human race that gave him mixed reviews at best. Many betrayed, many denied, even among those at table. Earlier this week, Father Michael talked about Da Vinci's Last Supper and how in that portrait, that painting, the disciples look anything but serene. They look confused, bewildered. They don't know what's going on. And imagine those words that we hear in the words of consecration each week, each day, when we celebrate the Eucharist. What that must have been transpiring in their minds as they heard that. This is my body, which will be given up for you. This is the chalice of my blood, which we poured out for you. We're used to the words. But he was instituting an act that would perpetuate the sacrifice that he would be engaging in that very next day as he stretched out his arms, as he gave over everything. My friends, make no mistake, if you were the only soul walking the earth, he'd have done it for you. He'd have done it for you. He instituted the priesthood. In the first reading, we hear how great care was being taken for the sacrificial lamb. Find the one without blemish, the spotless lamb, the perfect lamb. The concern was that the sacrifice be immaculate, perfect. To give to God the best that we could possibly give. Second choice would not be good enough. But we know historically, God's people weren't real good at giving God the best. We held back. We held out. We sometimes just held off. So God provided the sacrifice. In Jesus Christ, there's perfection. The Lamb without blemish. But lest this be something that it was just God was doing in God's own mind for God's own purpose, he couldn't divorce us from the act. He called his apostles together and he commissioned them. He made them his priests to perpetuate that sacrifice. He missioned them that Last Supper, that Passover, was not to be constrained into the upper room in that moment of history, but was to be perpetuated to this very moment as we offer up that same spotless victim. And lest God ever be accused of not having a sense of humor, look at those that he called to be his priests. Perfect, spotless, immaculate? I don't think so. He chose human beings. He chose human beings. men to be shepherds and father of a flock who struggle every bit as much to give God the best as any other person would. Because he knew we'd be in this together. Priests and people forming a family of faith, striving and struggling to give God not what is left, but what is right. To give God the first place in our hearts. To place God at the forefront of our minds. To carry God with us day in and day out in our lives. That we construct temples in His name. But we need to remember these buildings are not the object of worship. They are edifices in which worship takes place. But Jesus knew that it couldn't stop there. We couldn't be insulated. We couldn't be insular. It couldn't just be about the chosen. The chosen who gather together to build each other up, to pat each other on the back spiritually, to share some rituals in common and then go out anonymously doing our daily deeds. Now, Jesus didn't stop with the sacrifice. He left an example. When we think of foot washing, our 21st century sensibilities recoil just a little bit, don't they? When was the last time you washed someone's feet? Father Michael and I can say a year ago. Anybody do it since then? And you know what? We're really blessed because I know that those 24 feet that come up are cleaner than they are any other day of the year. But in that symbolic bending down to the feet of His disciples, first century men who make no doubt about it, they had smelly feet. The earth would have been caked on their feet. But that is something that would have happened before the meal, not in the midst of it. And He switched the table, turned the table around. The disciple would normally wash the foot of the master. He was the Alpha, the teacher, the superior. He got down on His hands and knees. And He told them, there are people in the world who like to let their importance be felt. It can't be that way with you. You've got to be foot washers. As Christians, we can't be insular. Our faith cannot stop at the doors of the temple. We need to be spying those occasions, those people, those interruptions that God places there for us to live out our mission as baptized disciples of Jesus Christ. And you know, I don't know about you, on some days I think it'd be easier to wash some stinky feet rather than be interrupted, inconvenienced, or bothered. It's easier to write a check and send it off in the mail than to engage in a conversation, an encounter. One thing our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has taught us is the power of accompaniment. He celebrated his evening mass of the Lord's Supper in a prison of young offenders. He washed their feet. He reminded them that they're not alone, that they're not forgotten. And while they're not perfect, God's love is not dependent on perfection. Their human dignity is something that they're entitled to simply because they carry God's DNA in their soul. My friends, this night, when none of us have to be here, but some of us could say we are the Uber Catholics. We're the ones who go to church even when we don't have to. And you know what? That means the bar is raised that much higher to accompany those who feel that they're not good enough to step foot in this building. That they'll be looked at, judged, or turned away. No, the powerful like to make their importance known. It can't be that way with you, he said. See what I've done for you? I've washed your feet. Now wash each other's. We rightly mourn the loss of a beautiful monument, an 800-year-old cathedral. But you know what? That can be rebuilt. That can be reconstructed. It's a lot easier to rebuild a building, to rebuild a human heart. Takes a lot more time. You know what the good news is? That's why Jesus founded his church. To rebuild broken hearts, broken lives. To call in those who feel like they've been pushed aside. To reach out to those who feel they've been pushed away. To accompany those who feel they've been left to wander aimlessly. Jesus visits us tonight in very humble elements of bread and wine that mysteriously, but most assuredly, become his precious body and blood. When you receive it, it becomes one with you. You receive the one who washed feet, the one who laid down his life, the one who poured out his blood. The greatest prayer that we can have, my friends, is that we become that which we receive, that we imitate that which we handle, that we replicate that which has been done for us.